Exodus chapter 15. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider had he thrown into the sea. Verse 2. The Lord is my strength and my and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The next verse. Let's read this verse 3 together. 1, 2, ready, go. Read it again.
The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name.
Let's read it again.
The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name.
I just found out that God likes war. You are the only one that hates war. So you said, hey, God himself likes war. And when God finds out that you are a warrior, he makes you his friend. There is nobody in the scripture that God used mightily that did not fight at least one war. Go and check. And there is one war I will introduce to you people today. But let's start from the beginning. Starting from the time of Abraham, join me in 10 minutes. One of the things we noticed is that as soon as God called Abraham and he began to obey God, war started. Is it not true? Except you are not obeying God. One of the signs that you are not in one of the signs that you are not in obedience is that everything is too smooth for you. You look at your life, everything is too smooth. Too smooth. It's either you are not in obedience or Satan likes you too much. Or you are his agent. You know, if you are serving Satan well, are you with me? Oh, if you are serving Satan well, he doesn't have any reason to fight you. He will even be supporting you in what you are doing. As soon as Abraham started obeying God, war broke out. War started. The scripture said, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Part of the reason why you should investigate scriptures like this is so that your posture in the spirit will be correct. There is the posture of you being a weapon, and there is the posture of you wielding a weapon. And you should know how to position yourself in these two dimensions concurrently. Listen to me. Now, for you to wield your weapon effectively, you should be wielded by God effectively. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me say it again. You have a weapon, but you too is a weapon. And the person wielding you is God. And the scripture called him here, the Lord is what? A man of what? War. So, there are two things that you need to understand here. First of all, is the dimension of you wielding a weapon. Are you getting it? The another dimension is you being the weapon that God is wielding. I think the second dimension is a prerogative. So the effectiveness that a man has in wielding his own weapon is dependent on how he has yielded to the wielding of God. And that is why several times you can come and shout, fire, 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 fire. Nothing will happen. And another person did not shout fire and something happened. The person did not shout fire, but when he entered, fire started burning. It means that God is wielding him well. So because God is wielding him well, he can wield his own weapon well. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
So these two things has to go concurrently. And this is why there are several people that want to engage warfare, but they don't want to be become. They don't want to be trained. They don't want to come to the place where they yield to God as a weapon in the hand of God, but they want to handle weapons. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, this thing I'm telling you is one of the fundamental challenges in the body of Christ, because there is literally nobody that will tell you that he has not been in one warfare session of prayer or the other. Are you getting the point now? So, somebody just comes. Somebody just comes that is not serious with his walk with God and comes and he meets the prayer session where we say, "Shout fire," seven times, and the person will shout, "Fire, fire, fire, fire." But when we check properly, we found out that God is not wielding the person. But the person is trying to what? Wield a weapon. Now, these cracks in our alignment with God is what Satan takes advantage of and makes a mess of us. See, you can deceive this guy, but you can't deceive Satan. No. It's not even you can't deceive Satan. Your shape in the spirit is obvious to the people that are occupants of that realm, to the people that interface with that realm. And in the day that even a human is discerning enough to know your shape in the realm, he can also know, because man is created in such a way that he can interface with the two realms, physical and spiritual. Follow me now. So, if we engage in warfare, two things you should be focusing on. Don't just focus on engaging the war. Focus on becoming the kind of person that can successfully engage the war. So, as you are wielding a weapon, God should wield you successfully. A guy sang a song. I don't know how to sing it again. I think it's Valentine that knows how to sing it. That one, he said, "I'm your sharpest sword." How do they sing itself? "You are seated on the throne with fire in your eyes. You are the man of war." Uh-huh. Then what's the extension? Uh-huh. "I am your battle lance." Uh-huh. Where is that? There is a place. There is sharpest sword. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Don't play. The point here is that the person is making emphasis on himself, saying that he believes that if God wields him as a weapon, he will gain victory. The problem is not God, it's you. That's the point I'm trying to make. Every failure that you have experienced in your attempt to rescue things that has been taken from the kingdom of darkness can never be God's fault. And that is why, as you are looking forward to engaging the powers of darkness and brutalizing them, you should also look inside on you to find out whether you have become the kind of weapon that God can wield in that circumstance. Are you getting where I'm going? If you see 20 people carrying machine gun and they are coming for you, and they told you, "Prepare, come and take your weapon." And as you are going, they gave you kitchen knife. They gave you what? What are you going to do? Huh? My guy said run. So the question is this. Are you getting where I'm going? Assuming you are a weapon, are you kitchen knife or machine gun? And that's why God cannot go to that war with you. Because are you getting where I'm going? God wielding you as his own weapon is tantamount to the kingdom of heaven losing that war. You should focus on yourself. Focus on the constructions of God. Anytime before you step out, you ask yourself, or you ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and do an introspection. If I step out now, will you win with me? Brothers and sisters, God doesn't need 1 million people to win. What he needs is just maybe just 12 people that is yielded. Human beings, are you with me? If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
The scripture said in the book of Judges that Gideon wanted to go for war. And when he wanted to go for war, he wanted to select the warriors that will go with him. Considering the number of the enemies, you know what he did? He asked for soldiers, come. Anybody that want to fight, come. Anybody that want to, all of you, come, come. All of them came. They were 33,000 men. When the 33,000 men gathered, Mando Bafo, one day, all of them gathered to the warfare. And David said, Lord, this is 33,000. I'm sorry, I cannot get more. I can't get more than this 33,000. I know there are not much. The problem with man, with natural men, with human, is that they think that God necessarily counts his men. God doesn't count his men. He weighs them. He weighs them. He weighs them. And it is a consistent feature throughout the scripture that one man can outweigh 100 people. And there are several instances that God is willing to wipe out a nation just for one man. And he said it, I can give Ethiopia for your sake. One man. That means in heaven they weigh people. One man can be heavier. That is why when we come here, part of the implications of what we are doing is to make you heavier in God. So that they walk, because the assignment, using your family as a minute context, the assignment that is standing before you to drive out the regime of Satan is something that 50 people need to do for 5 years. So you are the one that is doing it, only you. That is why you are brought here. Beyond the fact that you are praying so that something will happen in your family, your prayer, first of all, too, is so that something will happen to you. Something that is supposed to happen to you so that you will do the work that 50 people is supposed to do. That means the dealing that heaven will release to you is the dealing of how many people? 50 people. I didn't hear you. How many people? 50 people. Because you need, you know, it's easy for you to say, you know, the strength of 1,000 men. Go and sit down. What you need to cry for is the dealing of 1,000 men. God, deal to me as you would have dealt to 1,000 men. Because my labor is the labor of 1,000 men. If it is 1,000 people you are that normally you should send to do this thing and you are sending only me, you need to train me. Gather all the training you would have given 1,000 people, give it to me. Gather their kind of heart, give it to me. Gather their kind of wisdom, give it to me. Gather their kind of brutality, give it to me. Give it to me. And that is why sometimes you notice I hear release you fast after you go, because that work, do you know how many people should do that work? We need to start counting. Don't count from this generation, because some of you, when you count how many people, you are counting people alive. As far as they are concerned in the realm of the spirit, both people alive and people dead are amongst the people that is counted amongst the number that should deliver that assignment. Remember, I was telling you people yesterday that that kind of contest is a transgenerational contest. Several times the contest is divided into maybe 20 generations. These people will fight 5% of it and then they will die. Another person will fight 5%. They will keep fighting it. If each generation fights 5%, at what generation are we going to have a victory? At what? And then you come and say, Lord, I insist it must happen now. What are you actually praying for? I want to explain to you that what you are praying for is, Lord, compound the dealings of 20 generations. Give it to me. Compound the training of 20 generations. What? Give it to me. Compound the persecution of 20 generations. What? Give it to me. Compound the warfare of 20 generations. What? Give it to me. You should count. The reason why I'm telling you this, in the Bible says, who comes and builds a house without counting the cost of the building? You are careless. You need to know, what exactly will it cost me to build this? So that if you are not ready, you go. We will know you are not a warrior. You are a bloody civilian. Anybody that wants to win, part of the things I told you people yesterday, God need to give you heart.
Put your hand there.
Lord, give me the heart that cannot stop until he wins. Make it a prayer for 1 minute. Give me a heart.
In Jesus' name, listen.
From the time that the new nation Israel, from the time that God started implementing his agenda concerning that nation called Israel, even though the nation manifested fully from the third generation and then became a full-blown nation in the wilderness with Moses, the agenda of God was initiated with a man called Abraham. One thing was consistent. From the time that God initiated his plans, warfare started. Abraham was a normal man. He never fought a fight. Abraham didn't have any plan of being a warrior until he became a possessor of the covenants of God. On the account of the covenant that he possessed, the mandate, the mantle, the calling. That's what Satan is fighting. You are not too important except for the mandate that God has placed upon your life. The calling. That's what Satan is fighting for. And several times, once he collects it, he leaves you. If you check well, several of you, Satan is no more fighting your father. Check well. Check well. Is he still fighting your father? This guy don't want to answer me. You are the one he is fighting to make sure. What is he for the next 30 years? He didn't. He's not a liar. Listen to me first. Something that if they put disco for you, you will misbehave. Small disco. They have not even played real music. Egu papa just go ka gbanyere there. Were you not there that day? Gbanyere your papa just go. They never play real music. I speak in parables. The people that have ear we hear. And he say fire. If you can see actually you're watching and more self. And God or donasi. If you like, don't bend down. Let me say all that things. Hear what I'm saying, you know, because the worst part with hearing me is that your excuses have gone. Because before you can say, hey, had it been I knew this before, I would have done like this. Had it been I know I would have done. You are knowing now. What are you going to do about it? A man that carries a calling, Satan will fight that person. Especially if you still have the potential of becoming something greater in your calling. Watch. Several times, Satan doesn't fight the people that has already become big. The people that is already there. Why? He already knows them. He has already seen them. He is going to fight you because he doesn't know you. He needs to stop because he doesn't know whether you are the next Jesus. He doesn't know whether you are the next Solomon. Are you getting what I'm saying? He doesn't know whether you are the next Charles Finney. He doesn't know. So he needs to stop you. That's how Satan does it. Many times he does a blanket job because he doesn't know. When Jesus was born and Herod came and said, as you are going back to the guys that came, he said, tell me so that I will go and greet the baby myself too. As he was going back, they followed another path. Satan went and killed all the children from 2 years down. Simply to make sure that nobody rises from the family. Several times is one person that Satan is looking for. Probably there is a prophecy that went ahead long years ago And Satan doesn't know who he is going to fall on. And six of you. That's why many families suffer. Satan will make sure that nobody is doing well in your family. He is holding everybody because he doesn't know who amongst you people that God has said he is going to use. So he needs to knock all of you out of position. Make this one a Curtis. Make this one a runs gear. Make this one what? Make this one at the end when you do it for 10 years. Are you getting what I'm saying? Make this one Yahoo boy. And you know, I hear some people. Well, I believe. I hear some people say that no matter what you do, no matter where you go, that God can clean you up. God can use you. God can use you for his glory. He can use you for his glory. No matter what you have done in this life, he can use you. But he can't use you for everything. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He can use you, but he can't use you for what? Everything. The prophecy has captured the kind of person that can be used for several agendas in the heart of God. So God using, that's why you need to be careful with living. Because God using you in that way will violate what he has already said. So he will give you another assignment. But there are certain things, and even that is an act of his mercy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The scripture said, a virgin shall be pregnant. So, if you are not one, remove your eye from them. Trust God for another one. Trust God to be Lydia. Who is that one selling purple? Is it not Lydia? You will sell purple, oh? Trust God for that one. You see, that's why you have to be careful with living. God can come and say, a prophecy captured a young lady between the age of 18 and 28 will carry this mantle. Between your 18 and 28 years old, you now bara ala banko. Lord, if there anything you can do with my life, use me. I know I'm nothing, but use me anyhow. You already know you are nothing. What were you doing from 18 to 28? You did nothing. The young man is running around, up and running around. And Satan knows the prophecy. He knows it. Satan knows it. He knows it's between 18 and 28. So he makes sure that within that age range, you didn't do anything useful with your life. After 28, he will release you. After, go and check what I'm saying. Many of those, your uncle, all those people, how many eligido, many eligido, once they are now 40, they now became themselves and started advising you. Once he was 40, they now started advising, behave like this, don't do like this, don't do like this. You too, you say, I want to experience it too. All these people, old people, they will be telling us, after doing, they will now tell us not to do it. And then you do your own. When you are 40, your eye will also clear. Because the mandate said before 30, before 28, before 35. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You better hear me. You need to become the kind of person that God can will. That is why God brought you here, to forge you. As he's forging a weapon for you, he's forging you into a weapon that he can use. There is a weapon that if you become, one blow with you by God can cause a damage on the kingdom of darkness that they cannot recover from. For one full year, Satan will go on exile. One full year. You need to become that kind of man. From the time of Abraham, there is a kind of war that broke out. And these wars, their definitions is around the seasons of breakthrough. And the contention never ended. As long as that covenant continued from one generation to another. That war is the war with the Philistines. Go and check the Bible. Abraham fought Philistines. Isaac fought the Philistines. Jacob fought the Philistines. Every generation, what? Fights the Philistines. Saul fought the Philistines. David fought the Philistines more than anything. Do you know why? The Philistine warfare does two things. The Philistine warfare does what? Two things. Number one, The Philistine warfare gives you a definition of where you are in your journey of destiny. Number two, the Philistine warfare trains you to become the man that can stand in the place of destiny. So it is a necessary contention for you to develop the stamina to stay on the throne. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is not one of the warfare you can pray away. You can't pray it away, because that kind of contention also trains you. Every king fought the Philistine warfare. Every of them. They fought the Philistine. After fighting the Philistine in this generation, another generation they rise again. You fight them in another generation they what? Rise again. So it means that every generation that wants to execute a certain kind of assignment, we fight a certain kind of demon. We find a certain kind of battle. You can't run away from it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me explain to you what I mean. You say, Lord, use me like you use Paul. Use me. Use me like you use Apostle Dajon. Give. You know, I see some of my brothers, even though they'll come and say, use me like you are using Apostle D. Use me. That's not the real prayer to pray. The real prayer is, Lord, brutalize me. Bless me with dealings. Give me much warfare like you gave him. Give me warfare. Give me dealings. Give me, because if you want to become like a person, your prayer is, you know what people see is, is there a way we can catch the anointing without the warfare? No, the anointing is for the warfare, and the anointing is after the warfare. And several other things. The authority, the mantle, the throne, the crown. All of them is on the basis of contention. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you have this mindset, you will stop looking for free food. I heard that there is no free food even in Freetown. Nothing is free. It is only given to them that insist. They remove their eye from all the things, ornamental displays, the manifestation. They are looking for, where is the labor? Where is the labor? Where is the labor? Where is the labor? The men that will carry the heavy things, that will finally become there are things you want to be. Oh, you are praying, God, use me this way. He won't use you because he say use me this way. He will use you because you fought the kind of warfare that men that carry that kind of thing fights. Before David fought Goliath, he has been killing lion and bear. Is it not true? He is used to contention. He has been killing lion and bear. And he's a young man. That means David started killing from when he was a teenager. Huh? He knew the scent of blood of the enemy as a teenager. By the time he's 33 years old, he's already a master. He's already a general in the warfare. You, how old are you? You are an old man. You, how old are you? You are very old, and you are looking young in the face. Lord, do something with me before I become too old. It should be your prayer. You used to be 20 something. Are you still 20 something? Stop deceiving people up and down. You are old. Lord, use me before my age cannot open the gate anymore. Compound the warfare. Put all of them together. Let me fight it now that I have strength. Sister, stop looking for easy way out. There is no great woman that had it easy. Huh? Your prayer should not be, I want to marry a husband that will take care of me and then fly away. Oh, fly away. Nobody will fly away with you. You have to trust God for labor. If not, even if God gives you something, Satan can collect it under your noses. You can't keep it. First thing is not about giving. What if they give you? Can you keep it? Can you keep it? And that is why what God will do in your seasons of training is that he will give you simulator exercises. It is not the real thing, but it is a simulation of the real contention you will face. Are you getting it? They simulate it for you so that you test your strength. That is the contention of the Philistines. It is not the real warfare, but in that season, God simulates for you within that environment what you will face when you land on the throne. Every man fights the Philistines. It's a simulator exercise so that you develop the capacity. I was studying they were teaching us in the school of ministry many years ago that they said that there is what is called the ministry of demons. I said, I don't understand. What do you mean by the ministry of demons? Several people, their work with God is undeveloped because they were not taught that there is a ministry that is known as the ministry of demons. If it is not true, do you know how many deliverance sessions and warfare and things that has been done from the day of Jesus till now, and there are still demons? Do you know the great men of God that have risen? If it is not a necessary thing for you to pass through the contentions with demon, Charles Finney would have cleared it in his generation. Is it not true? Yes, by the time we arrive here, we won't see any other demon, but they are still demons. Do you know why? You need to war with them for your own good. You need to be trained. Contending with them is like a man going to the gym. Your own training, there is a ministry, you are exposed to them. God will now stand one side and be watching whether you actually understand who you are, you actually understand the revelations that is in Christ, you actually understand your weapon. That is the only environment that can make you, that the things that you already know in your head, that experience drives it into your heart, because you practicalize, you experiment. You said the blood of Jesus is powerful. If it is not for warfare, will you know? It took a warfare for you to know how powerful the blood of Jesus is. Suddenly you are in the dream, in the spirit, and a demon rose very tall. Sometimes you see some of these demons, they are too tall that you wonder whether is it possible for a being to be this tall. And they will stand like this, and you shall blow on you, and the thing will tumble. Whoa. When you wake up from the dream, you now do a 7-part series on the power of the blood. Are you getting what I'm saying? That your teaching would have never been possible if it is not for the warfare that you found yourself in. You will never be able to teach a generation the way of God until you war. It is the knowledge you gathered from warfare that you hand out to another generation, telling them that if you want to walk the path of consistent victory, this is how you should do it. You do not pass through anything, how will you train your children? It is priesthood that educates you, hands you the articles of faith that you will hand down to your children, that will be the weapons that they will use to win. You have cut down the education timeline for them simply because you word and received the education. You had things to tell them. Tell them that at this point, this happens. This is the way you should position yourself. You might not tell them, but once they are 18, you start teaching them how to fast and how to do night vigils. Once your children is 6 years old, you tell them you need to speak in tongues now. Before when I seen Mel, you should know how to sakabola kata. You see how Satan has. You said Yensi for long. Said it for many years with your mouth. Before Jesus now caught you, you now spoke in tongues 2 years ago. And you are asking God, you will do it this year. If you don't do it, I will backslide. Backslide now. We need to recalculate your misbehavior for many years. Do you know your misbehavior? Some people are not honest in their judgment. If you are honest and you calculate it well, you will find out that this one God is doing for you is by his mercy too. Because if it is not by his mercy, we need to apply the years of your foolishness in your education now. And so many of you, you misbehave for 20 good years. So if your prayer now is, Lord, give me a compounded wisdom, training, and strength so that I can achieve in 1 year what a man cannot do by his own power in 5 years, we can do it this year. And once God answers the prayer, do you know how he answers it? He gives you burden, gives you a lot of contention. The things that is seemingly bigger than you, but the only way to advance is to keep pressing, keep pressing, keep pressing. I was praying with some people, and after we prayed some prayer, gained some victory in the spirit, before we know it, in 2 weeks, another warfare came out. And one of the sisters now asked a question. You know, those days I used to say, why don't we defeat Satan once and for all so that he can go? Have you not thought about it? Let's gather all this warfare one evening and fight it and go. Let's gather the warfare. Just gather together, fight it and what? Go. You will not grow. And should I even tell you, some of those warfares will swallow you. And the only way that God ensures it, by his wisdom, he'll be releasing it consistent with your own development. If you are with me so far, say amen. I want to show you something little in that place that our brother read in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 16. First chapter 16. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God had prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, then will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. Next verse. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia. For I do pass through Macedonia. Verse 6. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that he may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. Verse 7. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to what? With you. If the Lord what? Next verse. Let's read it together. 1, 2, ready, go. I didn't hear you. Read it well. Let's read it one more time. Mark, you are not reading this thing. I want to hear everybody. 1, 2, ready, go. The man said he will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost comes. You have to wait for Pentecost. You just have to. The Pentecost we talk about is not a denomination. It's not a sect of people. Pentecost is not a sect. It's not a denomination. Actually, it's a feast of the Jews. But there is a meaning that it captures in the agenda of God. After, there is something that happens around this time of Pentecost. There is a feast, another feast that follows it. I want to be sure I'm correct. I think the Feast of the Tabernacles. Am I correct? You know now. Which one? Huh? Then after trumpet, which one? Are you sure you are following me? Then after that, which one? Okay. After atonement, then tabernacles. Now, first one is what? Huh? Passover, then the next one. Then Pentecost. Passover, Pentecost, Then trumpet, Atonement, then what? Then tabernacles. Actually, the tabernacle represents the fullness of God. The whole point of tabernacle is, because the whole point of tabernacle is that God came and dwelt. The fullness of God captured within the sphere of man, both inside man and around man. That is what tabernacle is supposed to be. I mean, you know what tabernacle is? A house, a temple, tabernacle. God dwells. My point is not to talk about the feast. My point is to talk about the spiritual implication. And for example, we say 50 days of Pentecost, and you know, somebody said it's 50 days of Pentecostal. My God, that's rubbish. That's nonsense. It's not why we're here. Even the word Pentecost, that's not exactly what you think we are here to do. And that is why I need to set these things in order now. Watch. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. This thing represents the deluge of God, sufficient enough for you to execute the next season. It's simply saying, I will tarry at Ephesus until God equips me for the next season. That is what it means. So we are not willing to enter the next season until God makes us, equips us for the next season. Because the purpose of tarrying is, show me Luke chapter 24 verse 49. Quickly, we are coming back here. If you are with me so far, say amen. And behold, I sent the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with what? Somebody say tarry. To be endued. Tarry to be endued. Forget whether it's power or what is important is there are two keywords here, tarry and endue. The two keywords are what? Tarry and what? If you tarry, you will what? If you tarry, you will be what? If you wait, you will be what? That is it. That is the whole thing. That means that there is an equipment, there is an enabling, there is a weapon, there are resources consistent with the season opening for you. You dare not tell us that there is a new season. There are things around your life that becomes a proof of that season. And several times, the things will flow from you. It can be that all God did was to give you a mouth and a wisdom that men cannot gainsay. You see, there are several, I think I taught you people a little on the leader's training. There are the organogram of the chart of utterance in the spirit is wild. It's wild. There is such a thing as a mouth and a wisdom that men cannot gainsay. And there is such a thing as somebody bringing out the oracles of God as if God is the one that is speaking. And when men speak like that, you can go deep in it. Anytime you open your mouth to speak, it seems as if the burdens of God is flowing. It's words that is coming out, but in the spirit, there are swords and fire mixed together. When you increase in the measure of that utterance, it is a testimony that a new season has been opened to you. Suddenly, a day will come when you open your mouth to speak, people will begin to cry, and even you wonder what is making them to cry. Are you seeing it? That means your tarrying has produced an equipment. What you don't know is that utterance is a weapon. Oh my God. One of the most brutal weapons in the spirit is the utterance that a man can carry. Sometimes everywhere we seem as if he's hard. You just stand. Are you getting the point? You stand and you take that utterance as a rod in the spirit. You stand it before darkness and you keep speaking, keep speaking. Keep speaking, keep speaking. You keep speaking. Suddenly, in a moment, everywhere we crack. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if you say that you have entered a new season, your tarrying should produce an endowment. What did I say? your tarrying should produce what? An endowment. There should be things, investments of God manifest in your life, testifying to the fact that you tarried before God. That is what this scripture is trying to say. Show me back my book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 8. The scripture said here, but I will tarry at Ephesus until endowment. Ask your neighbor, how far are you willing to go? Ask your neighbor, how many days did you pay for at Bishop Ozodike? From your own calculation, if I pray with them like this, I should be able to get something in 7 days. I will tarry at Ephesus. Tarry until Pentecost, until deluge comes from heaven, until a deluge. When you see a man that have entered a new season, you will know there must be a sign. There must be a sign. Don't tell people, don't be careless. Don't be proud to be telling people things. There should be a sign. Tarry till there is a sign. Jesus came to a point. He said, if you don't believe for my word's sake, that when I speak, it's my Father speaking. But in case you don't believe for my word's sake, believe for the works that I do. Are you getting the point? And he said, oh, you blind eyes, open deaf ears. People, collect all of these crosses for me. What does he mean? A season. There was a season. Jesus was just a carpenter's son. But a season came. He came out from the wilderness after 40 days and nights of tarrying, fasting, prayer. When he came out, the scripture said he took the book and read it for them. He said, this day is what? These scriptures fulfilled. When shall your day come? When will you look at the pages of the scripture and you will see yourself written there? A man that has not found himself in the scripture doesn't have what to build his destiny with. A day will come, you look at a page in the scripture and you know he's talking about a season of your life. This day. This day is this fulfilled. The Spirit of the Lord God has anointed me. This day. He has endued me. This day. This day. Do you know the day? Do you know the day that the door of finance was open for you? Do you know the day? Do you know the day? Do you know the day that the door of ministry was open for you? Do you know the day? Do you know the day that the door of international ministry is open for you? Do you know the day? Do you know the day? Do you know the day that the door of evangelistic ministry is open for you? Do you know the day? Do you know the day that the door of ministry to the body of Christ has opened for you? Listen to me. There is what is called ministry is diverse, dynamic. That is what is called ministry to the body of Christ. And several people that even talks that people, they don't have, you can have a mighty ministry, but you don't have ministry to the body. It means the scope of your ministry is captured within your congregation. Don't go beyond them. Once you try to minister beyond your congregation, first sign is that you enter into error. You will even encounter demons that you cannot contend with. But there is a season that he opened. Do you know the season that the door of marriage was open? Do you know the season? There must be something. Do you know the season? Do you know the season that the door of power was open? Do you know the season that the door of prophetic was open? Do you know the season that the door of miraculous was open? Do you know the season that the door of prayer was open? You have been praying, but a day came. God now said, my daughter, from today, pray. Do you know the day that the door to the scripture was open to you? Brothers and sisters, this scripture, this Bible is closed. It's not open. The Bible is very, very closed. You can have an encounter with the word of God and suddenly it will open to you. And when you look at it, several things will begin to come out of it. Many years ago, we are going for missions in a village. And when we're on the way, we are the first people that was going. We are inside a bus that was moving like this. And I was listening to a message on the way. Suddenly, like in a trance, I saw a vision. And in that vision, I saw a box like this. A small box. And light was coming out of it. I asked the Lord, he said, what is this? He said, this thing is the door of revelation. I said, when I looked into that box,
another box opened inside. As long as I keep looking, it kept opening. As long as I kept looking, it kept opening. After that encounter, I came back, opened my Bible. It seemed as if I bought a new Bible. When you are empowered, when a door of a new season opens, you find out that this Bible you are holding is old. You need a new Bible. You will be in the spirit, and the angel of the Lord will appear and hand you out a Bible. A sister had an encounter and had a vision, and in that vision, he said that God, I'm not sure she knows her. If she knows her, not well. She said, God transported her in the spirit, and she came around my office, and he said, two mighty angels stood in the office. And when he asked, he said that these angels are the angels of revelation. He said, scrolls were packed everywhere with fire in them. And I was going through the scrolls. The scrolls enters your heart. It enters your heart. Enters, stays there. When you pick up the mic, people will think that you are holding the mic. Eh? This thing is not, I'm not holding a mic, I'm holding a staff. This thing is not mic for me. This thing is a rod of authority. Anytime I hold this thing, are you getting what I'm saying? The scripture spoke about the shepherd in the book of Psalms chapter 23. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie. Give me. I want to read it. I want to show you something. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Next verse. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. What? Let's read it together. Again. Again. Listen to me. For some of us, when we stand to speak, what we are holding is a rod and a staff. And the purpose of the rod and the staff we are holding is to disciple nations. Are you seeing it now? It is with this rod that we hold, it is by it that we disciple nations. We bring them to the obedience of Christ. So when we stand to speak, it is not to entice you, it is to compel you by the anakazo that is embedded in our words. There is an authority that God gave us, and that authority compels men. When we speak, it draws you. It draws you. Even when you want to go, it draws you. That means we are doing the work of discipling. Because discipleship is gotten from the root word, discipline. Are you getting the word? And you cannot discipline a man without a rod and a staff. Are you hearing me? That means the rod and the staff is to disciple nations. They are the tools of discipleship. It is a proof that you have entered a new season. When God gives you something, sometimes you need to ask God, give me utterance. I was listening to a man of God when I was in campus about 11 years ago, and he said that you need to cry out for something. I said, sir, what is it? What should I cry out for? He said, cry out that God should give you a mouth and a reason that men cannot get here. Because I've heard that man when I heard the man when I was in campus. The man, he's not there with you, but when he speaks, it seems as if something is telling me, obey or don't misbehave. But the man is not there with me. But when he speaks, I'm afraid. But he's not there with me. I say, what is this? He said, my friend, is a rod and a staff. That's what you need to disciple your people. You'll be telling them they are not hearing anything. You think people obey you simply because you said nice things. Nice things don't make people to follow. People follow because they are compelled. There is a rod and a staff. That is the comfort of nations. The authority that God gave us to bring nations at his feet. Is a rod and a staff. It was when I took the man's message 2011 and climbed to Vet Mountain. Listen to it. 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 I finished all the messages. I put it back. I was soaking it. If he's speaking, I was speaking it with him. If everything he was saying, I was saying it. I can quote him back to back for more than 15 minutes straight. I was soaking it. My heart was burning. I was soaking it. When I came down after 5 days, they told me to teach not the church, they just told me to teach the ushers at the back. And then I told them, when I opened the same Bible I used to open, my brother, somebody give me Bible. This Bible can become fire in your heart. You need to cry, Lord, I have my own Bible, but when will you give me Bible from heaven? All the time you are struggling. When you open the Bible, your mind will be blank. They tell you to teach, you don't know anything. You study from night to morning, nothing is opening. You need. Listen to me. When I started teaching, I opened the Bible. I was reading the same place that I used to read before. And suddenly, the person that is our leader said, what happened to you? What happened to you? Your ways, they burn. Your ways, they are forceful. They come with force. I don't want to listen to you, but I can't stop myself. Have you not seen it? There are many people that heard me the first time, hated me, yet they kept listening. They didn't like me. They are still following me online, and they don't have plans of liking me, but they are still following me. Do you know why? There is a force. There is a mouth and a wisdom. Ask God. As he has given you revelation, ask him to give you something else. Put something in this, my mouth. Put something there. Put something. Put something. You cannot win souls without something being on your tongue. You can't win souls. You need something. In Jesus' name, listen. Many years ago, if I finish preparing for a meeting, I will pray. Sometimes I will start by 9 p.m. and pray till 7 a.m. in the morning. As soon as I stand on the stage like this to minister, the anointing will finish from my head. I say, what is this? I will be feeling the anointing. As soon as I stand, I will forget what to say. I will forget what to do. There is a season calling. It is a realm. When you are there, you know. Help the young man. You don't hope that. Wait, leave him. You go and pray. Go and pray for yourself. Don't you have need? You know what is on you? Pray, my friend. You are looking for who to carry. For me, oh, come for me, oh, come for me, oh, carry me. Carry me, Holy Ghost, carry me. Come for me, oh. Come for me, oh. Come for me, oh. Come for me, oh. Carry me, Holy Ghost, carry me, Holy Ghost, carry me.
carry me, Holy Ghost, carry me. Carry me, Holy Ghost, carry me. Carry me, Holy Ghost, carry me. Carry me, carry me. Carry me, carry me. Carry me, carry me. Carry me, carry me. Come for me, oh. Come for me, oh. Zapata, Fatiatos. Come for me, oh. Come before it's too late. Come, come, come before it's too late. Come, 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 come for me, oh. 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 In Jesus' name. You can be seated. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Listen. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Let's see the next verse. Let's read it together. 1, 2, ready, go. Let's read it together one more time. 1, 2, ready, go. You did not, the two of you did not read it with us. Let's read it again. 1, 2, ready, go. The scripture said, for a great door and effectual has been opened up unto me, but there are many adversaries. I don't understand. I thought when you have open door, it means that your warfare is over. Is it not true? Open door means, normally, you say, I see open door before you. It means that you should go and rest. Get ready for contention. Every open door is a season to contend. Not, we accept there is an open door. In fact, listen to me. Several warfares around your life is a testimony to the fact that there is an impending open door that is coming. Are you getting the point? And if you can fight and win, then several doors in the spirit and the natural will be open to you. A great door and effectual has been opened. A great and effective door. But there are contentions. And I used to wonder, doesn't Satan know that God has said it? Huh? Is Satan not aware of our Christian song? God said it, I believe it, that's set to see. God said it, and I believe it, that's set to see. Choir, how is my voice? My God. My God. I say I sang this song, nothing happened. I knew that God cannot be wrong. The fault can only be from me. There must be a missing link in my knowledge. There must be a missing link in my application. There must be a missing link. There must be a presumption. There must be an assumption on my side. I must have wrongly assumed something, and it caused a lack of manifestation. Anytime God gives you a prophetic word, get ready to fight for it. And many times when God gives you a prophetic word, you know, it's not as if we don't fight. But if God gives you a prophetic word and it's a bad one, you now fight. Is it not true? If it's a good one, you go for thanksgiving. Is it not true? Mm-mm. Whether it's good or bad, you what? You fight. The same way you fight for bad things not to happen is the same way you fight for good. Listen to me. Several of you have seen yourself in the vision, in the dream, where good things happen for you, doors open, mighty things happen. And when you saw it, you say, ah, thank God he has answered me, and you went to sleep. But when you saw where a demon is chasing you, woke up and declared 3 days fasting. The same way you declared 3 days fasting when you saw demon is the same way you will declare 3 days fasting when God said he wants to do something. Because Satan is not in doubt of the open door. He said, I want to fight with you. God has said, I just want to fight. Why did I say? Satan said he just wants to fight. Satan, just leave me now. Go your way. I'm not looking for your trouble. I'm on my lane. Say after me, I'm on my lane. Satan doesn't understand. He will jump into your lane, block your door, and tell you he wants your trouble. Do you like trouble in this life? Satan likes people like you. Do you like trouble in this life? Satan likes people like you. Do you like trouble in this life? As a person, you don't like trouble now. Satan likes people like you. Satan likes people that doesn't like trouble. When he collect the first one, he will come again because he likes the fact that you are not angry enough. I said it yesterday. There is a measure of holy resistance and anger you need. Say after me, every adversary standing on the door that God has already opened, I war against you. Listen, this door is the door that has opened. When you dream, you see the door has opened. This person sent you a message. I saw you where you are driving a car. This person sent you. I saw you where. From last year, something is wrong. Standing on that door. Listen to me. Stop praying to God. You know why you need to stop praying to God? There is prayer. There are two ways to pray. You can pray up, and you can pray from up down. Once God answers your prayer, the next kind of prayer to pray is legislation, and legislation is from up to down. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you go to heaven and say, he can very say better than us and nurses. So the thing is now on you to enforce. Lift up your hands. Pray for 1 minute. I enforce my open doors. I enforce it. I enforce it. I enforce it. Pray for 1 minute. Enforce it. 1 more minute. Enforce it.
Every adversary standing on your way, give way now, oh adversary. Adversary, give way. 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 Call your Kuchiri Musa. Paul was the one that said, a great and effectual door is open, but these demons has refused. These evil men has refused. But today, but today, but today, by fire, but today, by fire, we crush every adversary. We crush every adversary. We crush every adversary. Careful. Every adversary we crush, we crush, we crush. This door you open for me, Satan didn't want me to enter. I enter by force. I clear opposition. I clear adversary. I enter. I clear them. 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 I enter. I enter. I enter. I enter. How can God open door for you since the last 2 years and you have not entered it? Fire! Come for me, oh. 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 In Jesus' mighty name, you can cast your seed and offering. Tomorrow we meet again by 5 p.m. Next week, Friday, we come with power to Cameroon. Every crippled, blind person demonized, demons will cry. Demons. As soon as they come around the environment of the meeting, they will be delivered. Demons will cry out before ministration. I already feel the power of the meeting. Aye, carry me. Carry me, Holy Ghost, carry me. Carry me. Oh.
We believe God's word came to you with accuracy and power. To connect with the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Ejude Chukwu, with unlimited access to life transforming messages, visit www.revivalhubinternational.org. Follow us on all social media platforms at Revival Hub International. For inquiries and partnership, email us at revivalhubglobal@gmail.com.